Hey guys, and welcome back to the Love That Last podcast. This is a show where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. And today is an awesome episode. This is a special, special episode. We've been waiting 3 years specifically for this date, and you will hear why once you start listening. But let's get into it. Love you guys.
Our show is supported by the Love That Last experience. This experience is a new approach to helping couples tackle the tough questions in marriage, everything from sex, communication, parenting, conflict. It's really great if you're married or seriously dating or engaged. The Love That Last experience includes 2 separate guidebooks, one for him and one for her that Jeff and I both wrote, 12 video lessons by marriage mentors on 12 big marriage topics. To learn more about this amazing marriage resource, visit lovethatlasts.co. lovethatlasts.co.
What's up, guys? It is October 10th if you are listening to this on the day it releases. And
that is a day
that has been on the calendar for years. Well, I mean, technically it's on everyone's calendar because it's a day. But I mean, it's been a special day.
On our calendar.
It's been a special day on our calendar for years. And here's why. In 2014, before we even moved to Maui, we had a dream to write a book together. Mm-hmm. October 2014 comes around, we get that opportunity, we sign a book publishing contract with Thomas Nelson, where they're going to let both...
Is that in October?
No, I just meant 2014.
Oh, okay.
We sign the book publishing deal, 2014, mm-hmm. It's amazing, and for this book. Now, the crazy part is, like I said, we hadn't even lived in Maui yet, it's just crazy, you guys, that was 3 years ago, that's how long sometimes these processes take mm-hmm. for other projects to come out and all that. 2015, we start brainstorming. 2016, we wrote it. 2017, we start editing it, picking a cover, finishing it, thinking of cool ideas. And October 10th, 2017, it is in your hands.
Or it will be in your hands.
Well, they're going to be listening to it on October. If they get it. But like, it comes out October 10th. So if they pre-ordered, it's in your hands.
I just meant, since today is October 10th, like maybe Amazon Prime will be bringing it to your door at 3 p.m. today.
Oh, it's about to be in your hands.
Do you want to say that one more time?
Yeah. I was about to. You guys, oh, okay. Sorry, guys. We're sitting at our table, and so Alyssa wanted to set the mood a little bit more, so she wanted to like mess with the lights some more. But you guys, this is another episode. We have loved you guys' feedback so far. We'd love if you can subscribe, leave us a review. Those things, actually, not for our ego or anything like that. We really appreciate the feedback, but it's also mainly just for getting it in front of more eyeballs. That's how those things work. We're so excited to be talking about you guys today. So for the next couple episodes, we wanted to dedicate these next couple episodes to the book, to answering maybe your guys' questions, to us talking about the book, our heart behind it. Because I know when I read books by people and people I enjoy reading or books that really impacted me, I kind of want more. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. where did it come from? What, tell me some fun, cool facts and things of this nature. Yeah. And I think we want to give that to you guys because there's a lot of things that went into this book that you might not know about just by reading. But do you have any?
Well, just in case if you're a new listener, so our book is called Love That Lasts, and it's basically about relationships, marriage, love, sex, and how our culture's way of doing it.
Let me give them that back cover. You feel me?
Okay.
So it says love, dating, marriage, and sex. Have we been wrong? I thought of that. No, actually, I think our editor did, and I just said yes. Too many of us learn about love and sexuality from sources that distort our perspective, warp our hearts, and damage our relationships. Jefferson and Alyssa Bethke certainly did. From Jeff's prodigal son personal history.
Can you read it normal?
I thought I was doing it in my really cool dramatic voice.
It's a little
much? Okay.
Yeah.
From Jeff's prodigal son personal history. And Alyssa's true love waits experience, the Bethkes entered adulthood only to discover that they'd been duped. But from hard experience and study of scripture, they found a better way. And then it goes on to tell some more stuff. But that nails it, I think, mm-hmm. right? So Love That Lasts, yeah. it's a memoir driven, meaning our dating story, our engaged story, and our marriage story is the driving force of the book that we tell and talk mm-hmm. about these points. Things we've learned along the way, the good, the bad, and more specifically, like the back cover said, we wanted to write a book that we felt we never saw out there. And what I mean by that is we don't see too many relationship books. Like when we were getting engaged or when we were newly married, we wanted a book by our peers. Like give us a book.
What's it like to be married the first 3 years?
Yeah. Or just like dealing with millennial problems that we deal with, like with phones in the bedroom. That wasn't something that they had to deal with in 1950. Right. Or even, you know, people that are in their 60s writing marriage books. And so those people have a lot more wisdom, mm-hmm. but I think there was a level of like, hey, we're in the trenches right now, maybe a few years ahead of you. We hope this book can be an encouragement. So yeah, so it's for all seasons. Specifically, I want to give a note too that it's not just for people in relationships.
No.
We're getting hit up a ton, and you can just go to Goodreads and read the early reviews. Single people, specifically because of your story and what you share, are resonating with it deeply. Can you actually share just maybe in the kind of what you talk about briefly in the first couple chapters and why you think single people specifically can take something from it?
Well, it's been really cool. And so the Lord, because the singleness chapter was actually the hardest chapter I wrote. And I just went back and forth a lot. But I wrote it because I had always wanted to get married. That was just something that was a deep desire of my heart. I really longed for it. But all through high school and college, there just wasn't even a guy there really pursuing me, or, you know, I didn't go to homecoming. I didn't get asked to the prom, just any of these things. And so it was really hard for me. And yet I had this deep desire to like want to have a boyfriend and want to be married. And so I just kind of talk about that. And even though I got married at 25, which for a lot of you, that's really young, I did feel like I really had to struggle through that season of singleness and really go to the Lord and give him my heart. And some seasons of singleness, most of the time when you're single, it's awesome. Like you're loving it. You're, you know, you're embracing it. You're getting to do so many things that you can't always do when you're in a relationship. But then there's those seasons that are just really, really hard. And you may feel really lonely and you just feel like, man, God, I've been asking this for years and years and it just doesn't seem like you're hearing me. Or maybe you just broke up with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're like, wow, like I don't want to have to start from ground zero again. And how long will I have to be single before another person comes along that I can date? So I just really wanted to touch on that and to give a lot of hope and how God met me in that season of my life. So it's been so encouraging to hear people that be like, you know, I didn't even know if I wanted to pick up the book because I'm single.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't know if it applied to me. And then I read this chapter and it's like the best thing that I could have read. And so that's just been so the Lord. And it's been like one of the best feedbacks.
Totally. And I think I'll toot her horn because I know she won't toot her own horn, you guys. And what I mean by that is the cool part I love about her chapters, especially on the singleness, is how she is how you rode the tension of, you know, I think some books like there's not just one, there's not like just one ideal single person you're talking to out there.
No.
Like it's a variation of seasons. It's a variation of reasons. Some are very content and want to stay single.
Right.
Some are
very not content. I think that's why I struggled so much with it.
Yeah. Because it's hard. It's like, are you talking to the people that want to be married, but aren't, but then that can sometimes come across that like you're less than if you're not married to the people who
never wanted to say that
to the people who are single and don't want a relationship, like, you know, there's a, and but what I was saying is I think you did an amazing job of that. I think you wrote, you wrote to these kind of different scenarios and said, hey, if this is you, like, yeah, if you have that desire, you don't have to, if you have a desire to be married and it's not happening right now, you don't need to pretend like that's not there. You don't need to pretend like, oh, I just need to be holier. I just need to be more content in God. And then he'll just bring my Prince Charming along. That's not how it works. And that actually leads to a lot of disillusionment when you do get married. But it's also okay to say, hey, God gave me this desire. That doesn't mean every desire I have gets met immediately all the time when I have it.
Right.
But God is the one that gave it to you. So he's going to, he will probably bless it. He'll see it. He knows it. And you don't have to think it's like a bad desire in you.
Right.
You don't have to feel like, oh, I need to hide this desire and just love Jesus more. It's like, no, Jesus is the one that gave you that desire.
Right.
You can love Jesus and say, I'm aching, I'm longing, and I want this.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, I love the parts where you talk about too of like, man, if that is your jam and you just want to go adventure and live and serve, because you can also serve in a better capacity when you're single than you can when sometimes you're married and kind of pour your life out to other people. And you talk about that too for those people of just like that, keep doing that, killing that. You're not you're not less than because you don't want to be married. And so I love you killed it on all that.
Oh, thanks, babe.
So not to put you on the spot, but
can we read the last part of that chapter?
I was literally just going to say
that. Oh, good. Okay, because it's like my favorite part.
Yeah, you guys, literally, I have the book in my hands right now, and I was literally going to put her on the spot and saying, hey, just read it out loud. Like, you know, over. Okay, let me get to it real quick. What is it? Chapter 4, Riding Solo.
How's it go?
Well, no, we don't.
Riding Solo. No, that's not
I don't think that's how it goes. I'm riding solo.
Yes.
Guys, we did a fun thing where each chapter title is a different song that kind of, it was a little bit more nostalgic, like either one from our dating relationship or it was just a title that was popular when we were dating that we thought just described the talks or the chapters. Not necessarily like the songs are very wholesome. Some of them actually aren't at all. And that's the point of like, that's
like writing solo.
Yeah. Like, but that's what describes what we wanted to talk about.
Right.
And so, here we go. So I think
and that was my idea.
Yeah.
Not to toot my horn, but everyone asked. So.
Yeah, no, it was, I know, yeah, Alyssa killed that. That was her idea.
We were having a really hard time coming up with chapter titles. I was like, why don't we do love songs? Like, that's just so.
Or not, they're not all love songs even, I would say.
Songs about love.
Well, I guess they are actually,
yeah.
So like, let's just, it's Where's the Love, What Makes You Beautiful, Slow Dancing in a Burning Room. That's my favorite. I love John Mayer. Riding Solo, Fake Love, Lucky, Call Me Maybe, Hey, Bleeding Love, We Are Never Ever Ever Getting Back Together, When I'm 64, At Last, Stay With You, All of Me, Let's Get It On. Let's Talk About Sex.
Just Let's Talk About Sex, Baby. I always think of Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah, the riff off?
Yeah.
Just the Way You Are and Unpack Your Heart. Okay, I found the part. Chapter 4, I think you put what you probably want to start in This Is a Season. Guys, you guys are about to get a live audiobook reading. Do you want me to? Or, I mean, you can start wherever you want, but I think that's probably a good... Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
And so hold on. I gotta preface this.
Oh, okay.
Alyssa's about to drop bombs, you guys. No. She's about to drop some fire. You guys are about to get like a podcast, audio book, real book mashup preview. It's about to blow your mind. This stuff is good. This gives you just a nug. And by the way, if you like this nug, I wanted to hook you guys up real quick too. I was going to say this at the end, but we put a 25% code on our website, shop.jeffandalyssa.com. If you use the code crazydeal, you get 25% off. So order as many books as you want for friends or Christmas or whatever. And you'll get 25% off, which I think the book's like, you know, $15. So it'll go down to like 11 or something or 12. So yeah, we love you guys. And that's for you guys. Pick some up. And then lastly, she's going to read it. But the cool part you can't get with the audio experience is me being like her hype man. So basically I'm going to be interrupting, I'm going to be interjecting. I'm going to say, that's incredible. That's amazing. You go, girl. So if you hear me and you're getting annoyed by that, then you got to go read the real, you got to listen to the real audiobook where I don't guys. Do that. Okay.
Okay. There is a season for everything, and the single season, however long it may last, is a beautiful season. There are highs and lows, pros and cons, just as there are in marriage. I do believe that if you wanted to get married...
I'm snapping like it's a slam poetry reading.
Oh my goodness. I do believe that if you've wanted to get married and are still single, there is a time to grieve. Not that you grieve without hope, but you can grieve the loss of a dream or the timeline you've had in your head. God knows your heart and your deep desire, and it is good, God-given desire. If it hasn't been fulfilled yet, at least not on this side of heaven, because we'll all be married to the Lamb in eternity. He is our true husband. You can be sorrowful and cry out to the Lord. Grieving is a good thing, a necessary thing at times.
I am going to do the snap thing, though, instead of totally interrupt you, because I realize that.
But it just makes it so cheesy.
No, that's what they do at the slam poetry things, because it's like you want to do something. Like, I'm the person where I need to give you feedback when it's good. I grew up in a black church where it's like, amen, preach it, huh? You go, right? So I got to give feedback, I realize, but you don't want to be so loud that you can't even hear the other person. And that's why at slam poetry, they do the snaps, because it's like, I'm giving you something, but I'm also not making sure that I'm making sure you can still be heard.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You go, girl. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want me to keep going?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The single season is an incredible opportunity to run into the arms of God, to be known and to know him in such a deep way that is a lot different from when you're married. God is calling you to get away and be with him. And I'm not saying that once you do, once you've marked that off your list, that he'll bring your man to you. He might do that, but he might not. He wants to set you apart and be your God and call you into deeper waters. That's the joy. That's the gift for all of us, single, married, divorced, or widowed. We have Jesus. There is no greater gift, no greater treasure. Jesus alone satisfies.
No, keep going. Bring it.
Keep going.
Yeah, you go, girl. I'm sitting. Yeah, this is the podcast right here. Boom. Drop bombs. Okay. Chapter 4.
My husband, as wonderful as he is, does not complete me or fill my heart.
Oh, never mind. Okay, we're done. Stop. Yeah. I'm just joking. Get good.
I enjoy him and I love doing life with him, but ultimately the Lord is the one who satisfies every part of my soul. The Lord fills me with joy. The Lord knows my every thought and word and movement. He alone is the lover of my soul. And at the end of the day, whatever happens or wherever your heart may be, you can rest knowing that you are deeply loved, cherished, and wanted by the King of Kings. He knows all of you, every part, and loves you more than you ever will fathom, more than you can ever comprehend, and more than anyone else ever will. As you wait on him, you can have his hope be the anchor of your soul, the hope that he is with you, he wants you, he desires you, he is for you, and he is working on your behalf. The hope that he hears you, he is in control, and he is good. I cling to Psalm 84:11. The Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. God shines on me, protects me, and showers me with his grace and presence. And he is always, every moment of every day, constantly giving me what is best. He doesn't withhold one thing that is for my good. If I don't have something in that moment, it's because it wouldn't be the best for me. I have all that I need right now, and all of it, the good, the hard, the uncomfortable, the ordinary, is for my good.
No, yeah, keep going, especially because then I know the next page is one of my favorites.
Okay. Likewise, God is giving you what is best in this very moment. You can trust his good work in your life. God is writing a good story just for you. It's your story. It doesn't look like anyone else's story. It's unique and set apart and beautiful. Even if it doesn't feel beautiful or is not what you would have written, it's good. And if you let him, he will bring you into joy that you never thought possible.
All right, here's the next page. This is the real good stuff. Oh. Lean in.
People will see that joy and say, wow, your God is amazing. But let's be honest. We don't always find ourselves in that place, do we? Often we live with unmet dreams and desires. Whether it's for a short season, a really long season, or the whole time we're on this side of heaven. There will be some people who want to be married but will never have that desire fulfilled in this earthly life. There is an incredible tension, specifically in the realm of singleness, that each particular person has to wrestle down to the ground like Jacob. For some, God wants to teach you that you don't need to put your life on pause until you're married, because that might never happen. You can live your life now. God has hopes and dreams and plans for you as a single person, not just as a married person. Marriage isn't the finish line. Jesus is. Yet there is also the reality that God has given us particular desires, and those can remain unfulfilled and unmet. The kingdom is coming, but it's not fully realized yet. There will still be thorns and thistles and dry ground where we were hoping for a beautiful garden. But the truth is, God told his people in the Old Testament that he would make streams in the desert. He didn't say he'd take his people out of the desert. He didn't say he wouldn't give them streams. He said he would give those streams, water, life, breath, joy, and fullness, in the middle of the desert. While God might not take us out of the desert, he will meet us there with his unfailing love and faithful character. God will be with us and give us everything we need in that moment. He is our hope, our peace, our strength. And when we focus on that and push into the truth and that wrestle, we are where he wants us. I know some of you are still longing, though, still waiting. As you hope in God, as you fight to believe his promises, you can pray. Run to God with everything. Roll your every burden to the Lord. Tell him your ache, your pain, your longing, your hopes and dreams, your deep desires. Cry out to him. Give thanks to him. Lift your potential husband up to him. Ask him to make you into the person that he wants you to be. Pray for your future spouse. Pray faithfully. Pray for their heart, their character, their mind, their hopes, for healing and wholeness. You get the opportunity to join God in the work that he's doing in their life. It's not in vain.
Oh,
babe, come on.
Guys, no, I'm serious.
I know, but.
It's amazing. It's so good. I'm over here just soaking it in. I think just we're done. Cut. That's all they need. No, you guys. No, seriously, babe. That's incredible. And it's not a coincidence that that section has been resonating with a lot of people. And it was the hardest to write. It's funny how God works like that, right? It's like sometimes the hardest to write, whether it was through spiritual warfare or it was just difficult because it might have been a harder thing to pry from your own story. It's just funny how those usually become the places that he wants to use the most. But you wouldn't think in a relationship book that you would get as much on that subject and that you even write more about it. And that's just so cool. We want to let people know it's for everyone. This book is for everyone, no matter what season. And so if you think that you might get some from it, then yeah, we would love for you guys to check it out. I think I love that streams in the desert thing. I think that's true not just with the singleness, but that's true with everyone.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Why'd you smile when I said that?
Oh, no reason.
Oh, but yeah, it's like, it's for everyone. Like if you're in a marriage right now and you know, you feel like the marriage is hard or not firing on all cylinders, you know, or if you're, you know, just had a really bad dating breakup or a called off engagement, or, you're just maybe walking through some issues in your marriage. It's a healthy, beautiful marriage, but you're walking through some hard things in life. that's putting a strain on the marriage. Like, God's meeting you in that place with the stream, with the beauty, with the goodness, with the thing that gives you life. But you're still in, but it's okay to still admit, but I'm in the desert, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, you know, we don't get that paradise, that full restoration of heaven and earth until Jesus comes back again, and it will happen, and we can look forward to that. But he meets us also before then. He doesn't leave us hanging, but he also meets us in our present. And sometimes we can't have seasons that aren't deserts, but a lot of us, we have seasons where they are. And so I loved that part. I thought that was so good.
When I just think of Psalm 23, and I've been saying that a lot lately, and how the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us to still waters.
Mm.
And I was studying it this week, and how, you know, that verse about, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Yeah.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it was just saying how in Israel, you know, there's a lot of, well, shepherds, they have to like lead their sheep through different pastures all the time, just so they don't like graze all the same land.
Yeah. And because,
you know,
it's different each time, then also they don't really know where they're going.
Right. Oh, and so
oh, sorry, you guys. I accidentally just tapped Alyssa, and she like looked at me like I was trying to give her some like subtle hint, but I wasn't.
Right.
I just accidentally tapped you.
I was like, should I not go this way?
No, I thought it was great. I just accidentally tapped you.
No, but I just thought it's so good. So, and I think it's during the winter months or the summer months, I can't remember. They lead the sheep through the valleys, and in Israel, there's like a bunch of mountains or like hills and canyons, and then deep down in the valleys, it can be the scariest because there's a lot of wolves and like predators on sheep.
Yeah.
And it's dark because there's like the shadows and stuff, mm-hmm. and caves. But at the same time, in those valleys, there's streams of water, and it can be the most green and flourishing area. And I remember when I was in Israel, we hiked all the way down. It was just desert and it was hot and there was just like rocks and nothing. And then we went all the way down into this valley, and all of a sudden it was like lush. There's like palm trees,
yeah.
and there's this like, not a river, but like a
stream,
like a little, like a stream and a lake almost. And we went swimming and we like rope jumped.
That's
and it
cool.
was like in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
And
and in the valley,
like in
it was at the low point.
Right. Yeah. And it was just saying how
man, that does Psalm 23 does take on a whole new view if you just realize even just the context they're writing from.
Right. Yeah. And David knew all this because he was a shepherd boy for so long before he became king. And so it was just saying how, you know, even though we go through valleys, and sometimes those are the darkest times in our life, and it literally is the shadow of death. Whether you're losing a loved one or grief or grieving something that you've lost, that he fears no evil, and we don't have to fear evil because God is with us, and he does bring streams in the desert. And I think, you know, when we realize, oh, hey, God is with me, and he gets even more intimate. And it was the coolest thing because in that psalm, he talks about how the God is his shepherd, and it's he. And then as soon as he gets to, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, it's you are with me. And so all of a sudden it's this like really deep affection
even more
and
intimate
relationship with the Lord in the valley. And so I think to bring it back to the book, if you are walking through singleness or something really hard in your marriage or your relationship or whatever it may be, to know that in this valley that you are going through, you do not have to fear whatever you may be fearing, evil of all things, because God is right with you. And sometimes in those valleys, and I feel like if all times in the valleys, the hardest valleys I've ever had in my life are when I've been the most intimate with the Lord.
Mm.
And so to have hope in that, they don't have to fear, even you don't have to fear future valleys, because God will just draw that much closer to you.
That's so, and even the opposite, just you're right. Like, you know, like you said, the mountains sometimes are the dry ones and the ones that don't have a ton of life and don't have, and if they do, the roots aren't really deep.
Right.
And
or so, you may just like be self-reliant. You're like, oh, I've got this.
Exactly.
I don't, you know.
So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, a lot, it's true in a lot of geographical things that, the, like you even mentioned with the hills and the valleys in Israel and the Middle East, that the valley is actually where not only life can sometimes be in a really mysterious, beautiful way, but also where things just grow better.
Yeah.
And so it's like, sometimes it's not, we shouldn't pursue it. We shouldn't go after like the low points, but know that there is a level of depth and growth that God can bring you there that he couldn't bring you, you know, in the mountaintops. And of course we want, life's full of both. So it's not like just pursue one and try to stay away from one.
No.
You're going to have mountaintops.
Just,
you're going to have valleys. Yeah. You're
so
going to have the peaks and the valleys. Yeah. The hills and valleys. That's like the new Christian song right now that I love. But Yeah. And so I just think that's really cool that to lean into that we don't have to, a lot of us though, we run from the valleys rather than saying like, oh, it looks like I am going that direction and I'm actually going to get prepared. I'm going to have enough water in my sack and I'm going to, you know, make sure I'm ready to camp out there for a little bit or whatever, you know, just being like, we don't need to run from it. There can actually, some really cool, beautiful things can happen there. So you guys, we're so, so, so excited for this book. It just still feels surreal. I'm holding it in my hands right now. And that is a moment for an author when you're just like, oh my goodness, these just showed up a couple days ago and I'm holding it. Like we pressed buttons, literally, that had letters on them. My keyboard's even wireless, so I don't even know how they even got from there to the computer. It's just like, we pressed buttons years ago. Somehow, it did something.
Can you tell he's excited, guys?
It did something that came to this. Okay. I'm just like, what?
So let's tell them the backstory. Why did we want to write this book? You know, how did this come to be?
Well, I kind of mentioned the beginning, right, with the dates and all that. But I guess heart-wise, where did it come from and stuff like that? So for us, I mean, you guys know us. I mean, we've started to, the last couple of years, we've just been really passionate about helping people's relationships, mainly because of this truth. I think we've realized in our own lives and again, not everyone's dating or married or engaged, but even single people, just their belief of relationships. Mm-hmm. If your belief, or again, if you're dating, marriage, engaged, if your actual relationship, if it's healthy, like if you're really living in the Lord's way of doing things, it doesn't matter if your life's just going to crap. You're usually okay. Like relationships are, and the reverse is true. What I mean by that, like if your life's going really good and you have a really hard, difficult, unhealthy relationship, it doesn't matter that everything is going okay. Your life is hard.
It affects everything.
And what I mean by that is like, I think human, especially romantic relationships, they're close to the center. They're close to the center of like, how we feel about life, how we go through life, what gives us our most joy, what gives us our most
identity. When I think it identity. Affects every part of us, emotional, spiritual, exactly. sexual.
That's like, what I'm saying with that is because things. It's so important and because it's so central, because we were created for intimacy in that, not necessarily always romantic. I think, you know, that echo is towards the Lord, but because we're created for intimacy and connection, then it can almost actually be the thing that, like I said, is like the floodgate of everything else. If we're doing good there, we're doing good everywhere else. If we're not doing good there, we're not doing good anywhere else.
Right.
And so that was kind of our heart. We started to realize that, we were pursuing health in a relationship and trying to do it the right way. And we just realized this is like awesome. Like if you do things the right way, it works. It just straight up works and it's healthy and it proves itself over and over again that it brings joy and security and stability and it gets you closer to Jesus. You understand him more. He draws you near. He draws you close. All these different things. So then we were
not to say it's easy.
No, definitely not easy.
Really
you have to you have to fight for it.
Yeah.
Because the inertia pushes the other way. Like the natural momentum always wants to take you the other way. So it's actually harder to live in a healthy way. But it brings blessing. And so we were realizing that, and then we just kind of wanted to turn around and share that with other people. That we just had this epiphany of like, man, if you can get this, like, here, another way to put it is, we just realized almost every question we were getting was people are broken. And we are in our past too. And in our story that we talk about, you know, porn, eating disorders, abandonment, father issues, stuff like that, like
divorce,
like it messes with you and it really affects your whole life. And so I just think it's something that a lot of us are losing on lack of a better term. A lot of us are lost on.
I feel like all of us are broken in some way.
Totally.
When it comes to relationships.
Well, and that's another analogy. I actually didn't use it in the book. Or no, I did use it in the book, but I know we almost titled the book Lovesick.
Right.
And the reason that was because another analogy that was really early in the book that helped us kind of just bring a really fire in our hearts to write it was I kind of had this hypothetical question of if every single person in the world, 7 billion people, were all sick with the same disease, would anyone even know they were actually sick? Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a really provocative question of like, probably not. Like if everyone's sick, then that's everyone's like kind of like baseline, then no one's going to actually think they're sick. Everyone's going to think that's normal. But if you do maybe have some people that aren't sick compared to that, then you start going, oh, this isn't what I was created for.
Right.
Oh, this isn't what it's supposed to be or whatever. And Jesus obviously is that for us, the prototype of, like we can live in a fuller humanity just like Jesus did and follow him as an image bearer of God himself and God himself to know what that's like. And so that question would kind of like haunt us, for lack of a better term, of just like, wow, like that's where I think we're at today, especially with our generation, right? Anyone under 30 and even older than that, but there's for sure some cosmic shifts going on in the 35 and under crowd, which that would be us. that I just think everyone's sick. Like we are, we are diseased in regards to love, sex, marriage, and dating. Like we are, we have a disease in our veins, in our bones, in our minds, in the lies we've believed in culture for years and years, and the ones we've picked up from our parents.
It can be so subtle.
Subtle, and also like so much the water you're just swimming in, you don't realize it. Like a fish doesn't realize he's swimming in water because he just is in water, right? Like, and that's kind of like, it's kind of part of our, like, we don't realize how many big cultural shifts have happened in the last 100 years, 40 years, 30 years with different ones. And so that was a lot of the heart of the book, because we started kind of asking ourselves, oh man, I like, there is a better way. There is a better way. And like we talked about in the back of the book when I read earlier, you know, and then on top of that, me and Alyssa had polar opposite experiences. Like I just made all the terrible decisions. If it felt good, smelled good, tasted good, whatever, just like I was dictated by my five senses, then I did it. And Alyssa was the person, you know, who didn't hold the guy's hand and tell me when we were 20, you were 22, I was 20. And so, you know, more like of the religious purity culture. And then I was coming out of the more just like societal culture of just do whatever the heck
you want. Do whatever feels good.
Yeah, do whatever that feels good. And that's kind of your true God. And so then that was a very huge collision. Then when we got, you know, dated, engaged, and married, and we talk about that, but we also realized, and I think what that's the fascinating part in the book that I didn't see a lot in relationship books that we really wanted to touch on is there was problems to both though.
Yes.
Like there was problems to the religious purity culture. And of course there's problems to the more prodigal, you know, licentious culture. And so that's, so we kind of, advocate for what we call in the book, the third way, that Jesus wants to give you a way that is, you know, you can kind of stereotype it as, or simplify it by saying, you know, the licentious way is like no rules. The religious circle is rules without life. You know, a religious period of like rules that actually don't give you any blessing or intimacy or connection. And Jesus is that third way of like, of course, Jesus believes in rules, you know, and Jesus has these ways for living. That's all a better way to put it is like instruction for how to find blessing in your life. But his give life and his are not the end goal. You don't do the rule because the rule, or you don't do the law because the law, or that God's going to throw a lightning bolt down on you, but no, because it's a better way and it actually is going to bring more joy. And man, and I just love it. That's what we talk about. That's what I think of when you ask, you know, where did it come from? And that heartbeat, all that stuff I just mentioned, those questions and all that was about 3 years ago now. And so we just said, man, I want to go down this path. Let's write our story. Let's put it down. And that was fun to write our entire story. We you know, it's funny because you got bits and pieces, but when you actually write it down, you're like, whoa, I never saw that or really thought about that. That's crazy. Anything you would write that?
We still disagree on some of them.
I know. Isn't that funny how like your stories, and married people can probably relate. After you've been married a few years, you know, the early years kind of become folklore of almost like.
But
you know,
I feel like I remember them so well.
Well, I remember them really well too.
But we remember them differently.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is like they become like folklore though of like you still remember them really well. But like I just meant in the sense of where you tell a story so much, you don't realize that. Maybe it's a little different or is that just my interpretation or whatever. Yeah. And so it's funny how that happens. But yeah, what would you say to, that same question? Why do you feel like we wrote it? Or I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, where was your heart at and what were you thinking and all that?
Well, I just remember one specific night when Jeff and I were first married, we helped out at a college ministry that he and his buddy started in Tacoma, Washington for the King. And one night we had like a special night where John Mark Comer.
We wanted to do a special night talking about like love, dating, and sex.
Because it was like college students.
Yeah. So we invited two friends.
Yeah. And so we had Phil Wickham do worship, which was incredible. And then we had John Mark Comer, who is a pastor in Portland, who's our favorite pastor, his book Loveology, which is also an incredible book that I highly recommend, had just come out. So he was talking on that. And I just remember being in this dark auditorium, and we were singing with while Phil led us, and I just remember feeling like, wow. And this was even before John went on to talk, but wow, like I feel like there's so much brokenness in this room.
I think it really opened your eyes to how that was such a big top. Like that's what every 22-year-old's kind of thinking about.
When I always knew that, but it was like I just felt the spirit of it, like. There is so much brokenness and we are so longing for healing in all different areas, no matter what your background is.
Yeah.
And so I just really was like, and the spirit was totally there that night and it was so powerful and I loved what John shared. And so coming out of that and then having worked with college students the rest, you know, the next 2 years, I just was like, man, we need to share our story because it's super cool that we came from completely different backgrounds and yet there's both things that were broken in it and that the Lord has a better way. And I just want to share that. I want it to be a book that I can give the girls that I'm mentoring and be like, here, this is what I would tell you,
yeah.
you know, if I could sit with you for 12 weeks yeah. and just tell you all that I know. And so, so yeah, I just always had that in the back of my head. And then I remember talking about it with you, and we just would get so excited about it. And so,
yeah,
it's so cool that now it's here.
I mean, not just cool, it's surreal.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm going to say too, like, it's so humbling. And I mean, it's a life goal bucket list thing to say I wrote a book with my amazing and special wife. So I just feel like that's so, it's so cool. We did something together, yeah, and it's going to be on the shelf really cool. and it's forever and people, mm-hmm. and even if we die, it'll, you know, when we die, it'll still be out there. Hopefully it's like, it's just cool. This like lasting final impact of mm-hmm. us, of writing a book and doing it together is really special. So you guys, we love you so much. A couple things we wanted to add on this episode. First of all, like I said, we wanted to hook you up with a code. So 25% off at shop.jeffandalyssa.com. And if you go there and get, you know, one book, five books, it'll give you 25% off your total, which is a steal. And if you really, I really think you'll get something from the book. I really think you'll enjoy yeah. the book. And if you don't, like we believe in this book so much that if you get the book because we convinced you and you think it just totally sucks, I will give you your $10 back. I will legit give you your $10 back. Just send me an email and say this totally sucked and here's why, and then hit me with your PayPal address. but I really, really hope you guys enjoy it, and we are so excited. Next week is Seth and Melanie's story again, and then the week after that we'll be back with one more special episode about the book, digging in. I'll probably read some samples and stuff of that nature. We love you guys so much. We hope you guys have a good rest of the week. If you're reading this book, or you pre-ordered it, or you're getting it soon, we love interacting online with you. It's a two-way street. So if you guys post pages that you like or excerpts, and you use the hashtag Love That Last Book, or hashtag Jeff and Alyssa, I'm going to be in there and Alyssa will be in there just commenting, saying, hey, how's it going? Or that was great. I love that. Thanks for sharing. Great questions, etc. So we love you guys so much. Anything else you'd add?
No, we just love you and hope that this book is a huge encouragement to you.
Yes. And thank you guys for supporting us and all the comments already and everything. We love you guys. And this little tribe we got in our corner of the internet is really, really fun. So, all right, we'll see you guys next week.
This episode of the Love That Lasts podcast is brought to you by Datebox, the monthly subscription that helps grow your relationship. Every month, you get a box that's packed with everything needed for a fun, creative, and unique date night, and it's delivered right to your door. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to make reservations. So visit getdatebox.com and use the promo code LOVETHATLAST at the checkout to get your free box. And who doesn't like a free box? You can just check it out, see if you like it. Datebox, your relationship matters. Our show is produced by Matt Carter, edited and sound designed by Melanie Studley. Special thanks to executive producer Craig Gross and StrongerMarriages.com.